I'll invite you to take your copy of the Scriptures tonight and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. We'll read the first five verses of this chapter, and our text tonight will be out of verse 5. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we would like to make known of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us or begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped or not as we had expected." It was really beyond our expectations. "But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to focus our attention upon you, upon your Word tonight, upon this text. And Lord, I pray that you would burn deep into our hearts and lives the truths of this text. May we respond rightly to the Word of God tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, just in a few days from now, the Winter Olympics begin. And whenever we have a time where the Olympics are going on, rather summer or winter, I find myself intrigued by the stories that come about of the sacrifice of the athletes that participate in the Olympics. I was reading a bit the other day and how some of the athletes, this one in particular, I believe, was involved in the skeleton. And that's where you go face first on some sort of sled about 90 miles an hour down this hill. Doesn't sound appealing to me, I don't know. But, you know, where they had spent 20-some thousand dollars out of their own pocket to participate in the Olympics and the equipment and so forth. And you read about oftentimes the dedication of time and often of skaters whose parents got up at 4 a.m. and took them to the skating rink and they were there by 6. And the training and the dedication, the commitment that goes in to being an athlete, their sacrifice, their dedication. I think we can simply say they give themselves to what they do. Tonight in our text, we're reading about a group of people that gave themselves. A group of people known as the churches of Macedonia. It was the church of Philippi, the church of Thessalonica, and the church of Berea, who gave of themselves. Yes, they gave money as well, because in the context we find that really what's going on here is Paul has submitted a request to the churches of Asia Minor, throughout Europe, that there was a need in the Church of Jerusalem. The Church of Jerusalem was struggling in really a deep, deep financial need, and they were trying to gather support for the Church of Jerusalem and the needs that they had financially. And it's interesting that this text tells us in verse 4 that these churches came to Paul and literally begged him to be a part of this offering. The word beg is the same word that is used in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12 of a leper who is begging Jesus to heal him. There was much passion. There was much feeling that went into this. There was no arm twisting, but these people came and somehow got word to Paul and they were literally begging him. And honestly, folks, we read this tonight and we say, really? Really? There was a group of people that were begging to give? And the truth of the matter was that the financial condition of these folks was no better and possibly even worse than the Church of Jerusalem. And they should have been recipients themselves of an offering, yet they are begging to give and be a part of this offering. Which really begs the question, what was motivating this? What was behind this? Why were these folks doing this? And I think the answer comes in verse 5, where it says, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. They first gave of their own selves to the Lord. I've been simply entitled the message tonight, Giving Yourself. Giving Yourself. That's exactly what these folks did in the churches of Macedonia. And by example and through the Word of God tonight, I believe that's exactly what God wants us to do tonight, is to give of ourself. Three simple points, first off tonight, is the idea of the priority of giving yourself. The priority of giving yourself. We come in verse 5 and we find the word first. Not so much the idea of in chronological order or in time, but the idea of priority and importance. The highest priority to these folks in Macedonia, these churches, the highest priority for them, the most important thing to them was to give themselves to the Lord. You know, we often talk about God being first in our life, or God having the preeminence, or Christ having the preeminence, as is mentioned in the book of Colossians. But that was not just talk with these folks. It was a reality. It was something that put feet to their words. It was the practice of their lives. It was the action that they put forth. That as a matter of priority, as a matter of importance, they gave themselves to the Lord. Can that be said of us tonight? Is that true of you and of me? Do we simply talk about God being important in our life, or is it a reality? Do we fit God into our schedule somewhere, or is our schedule operated and worked around God? Is God, is Christ, the important part of our life, the priority of our life? It was certainly true for these people. The priority of giving yourself. Secondly, the essence of giving yourself. The essence of giving yourself. You know, sometimes I think we find satisfaction in somehow giving things to God. Maybe giving our money, giving our resources, even giving our time to God. But you know, the supreme act of worship is not church attendance. It's not giving money. It's not singing hymns. The supreme act of worship is giving yourself and myself to God. That's the essence of giving yourself. God wants you and He wants me. A man by the name of Michael DeDewitt said it this way: until you give your life to God, any other gift is a mere token, a handout, a tip. God wants you. Folks, that is true. That was true back in this day, in this text. It was true for the churches of Macedonia. It was true of the people who occupied and made up the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Berea, those individual people. And it's true of us at Burge Terrace Baptist Church. It's true of us as individuals tonight that the essence of the kind of giving that God wants is giving ourselves to Him. Wholly, completely, unreservedly, unashamedly to our God. You know, one verse that we are very familiar with is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. You know, the idea of the word present there in the Septuagint or the Greek Old Testament was often used in connotation with the priest giving or offering a sacrifice. It was the idea of being surrendered or yielding something. It was the idea of being available or standing alongside of someone or something. And really, if we kind of boiled it down, it was this. It was to be at someone's disposal, to use as they saw fit. And you know, really, that's what God wants from you and me tonight. God wants us to be at His disposal. God wants us to present ourselves unto Him. And of course, and may we not let the familiarity of this verse allow us to overlook the power of it. Because at the end it says what? It's our reasonable service. It's a logical conclusion based upon what? The mercies of God. The mercy of God. If you are a child of God tonight and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a recipient of the mercies of God. And all that God has done for you and all that He's done for me, the logical conclusion, the reasonable conclusion is this, that I give myself back to Him as a living sacrifice unto Him. You know, Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 1. He said this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And you know, those were not empty words to Paul. He put feet to those words, just like the folks in these churches did in Macedonia. For three chapters later in this book, in chapter 11, Paul recounts for us how he endured shipwreck, how he endured countless beatings, how he endured imprisonment, how he endured a lack of food and water, and numerous other sufferings that Paul went through. Why did he do that? What caused him to go through those things? It was because at one point in his life, Paul had given himself wholly and completely into the service of his God. And as a result, he was willing to suffer and endure those things for his Lord, Jesus Christ. You know, recently, my family and I have been reading through a biography of Nate Saint. Many of you know who Nate Saint is. Nate Saint was the pilot who really was a part of what they refer to as Operation Aka, and trying to get the gospel to the Aka Indians in the Ecuadorian jungle. And along with Pete Fleming and Roger Udarian and Ed McCauley and Jim Elliott, these five men on January the 8th, 1956, ended up giving their lives in an endeavor to get the gospel to the Aka Indians. But you know, I was really profoundly moved as we read the story about Nate and how that long before January the 8th, 1956 came, that he had settled in his mind that it may be God's will for him to give his life as a missionary. That somewhere there in the Ecuadorian jungles, and he knew not how or knew not where, but he was willing and had settled, if that be the will of God, I have come to the conclusion that that's fine with me. I'm going to give my life to the service of my God and my King. How did he come to that conclusion? How did he come to that point in his life? Because he had given himself completely to his God. He had given himself wholly. He had given himself to the service of his King. And that's how he could come to that conclusion. I was also moved, and let me just read a small section of this to you here tonight, in their approach to dealing with the Aka Indians. It says, in talking about these five men that I mentioned to you, "The men had done everything possible to keep themselves safe, but they had also promised each other that if Aka warriors attacked them, they would not shoot at them. They had guns that they carried with them. They would only fire shots over their heads. There would be nothing worse than coming in peace to tell the Akas about God's love for them and then shooting them if things didn't go as they had planned. Each man had pledged to the others that if it came to that, he would sooner die on Palm Beach," and that's what they had named the place where they had set up camp, "at the hands of the Akas than risk killing people who," listen to this, "who had no idea who God was or that He loved them. Now, folks, that's commitment not just to a group of people, not just to a cause, not just to an ideology, but it's commitment to their God. That's the heart that they had. I believe that's the heart that the Apostle Paul had. That's the heart that these Macedonian churches had, that they gave of themselves to their Lord and to their God. You know, folks, dying may have nothing to do with God's plan for your life. And by dying, I mean dying in service for Him, as Nate Saint did. But I can tell you this tonight. Living for God has everything to do with God's plan for your life tonight if you're a believer. Giving yourself as a living sacrifice to your God and to your King. How does that work out for you and for me? It at least begins by every day as we wake in the morning saying, God, I'm yours today. God, you do with me as you will today. God, I've got a plan today. God, I've got an agenda today. God, I've got a schedule today. God, I've got some things that I want to do today. But if any of that, if it doesn't work out in your plan, then God, would you help me mold my schedule and my plan and my agenda to yours today? Because God, I'm in your service. And you know, you may go to a place of business. And you may be employed by a company. But really, your thought and your focus is, God, how can you use me at this place today? How can I be a good example and a good testimony of Jesus Christ in this place today? God, would you allow people to see Jesus in me and through me today? That's giving yourself to your God. That's giving yourself to your King. It's giving yourself in service to Him. It's evaluating your service to Him. It's looking around and saying, you know, what am I doing that really matters for eternity? What am I doing that counts? What am I doing that really is a significance for my God and my King and in service to Him? That's how it comes down in real life for you and for me. It's giving ourselves. That's the essence of what we're talking about tonight. But who's the recipients of this giving? And in our text, we find that there's two. The most obvious one is certainly to the Lord. The Lord is the first and foremost recipient of our giving. Mark chapter 12 is a familiar verse to most of us tonight. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. And you know, these four nuances that are mentioned in this chapter, I do not believe are necessarily that we need to dissect them too closely in that they are necessarily separate components. But really the thrust and the essence of this verse is that every part of my being, wholly, completely, unreservedly, is God's. And Lord, I love You. And the reason that I'm giving myself to You is because I love You. And I want to serve You and I want to please You. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? God's. You know, as a believer tonight, we don't own ourselves, do we? We're not our own. We belong to God. And this is simply the recognition, really putting action to what we already know, and just saying, you know, God, I realize that You bought me. You bought me with a great price. You bought me with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I indeed am Yours. And I'm available in Your service. Please use me. But you know, also the text says, and look at verse 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us. Paul says that these believers and these three churches, in essence, volunteered not only the money that they had collected, but they volunteered themselves in service to the Apostle Paul. And whatever could be done, maybe as part of the collection or even beyond the collection, that they offered themselves to Paul and the others that were working with him. You know, when we offer ourselves to God, when we give ourselves to God, in essence, the byproduct of that is giving ourselves to other people, isn't it? You know, just four chapters away, in chapter 12, Paul said this, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." To this very church at Corinth that he's writing to, Paul says, If you haven't figured this out by now, I want you to know that I will most gladly, I will with extreme exuberant excitement, is the idea there. Spend, it's the idea of really profligate spending. The idea almost of the prodigal son and that type of loose, free spending, profligate spending. He says, I will spend and be spent. I will completely give myself to you in service. But what's the end of the verse say? He says, even though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. There wasn't a lot of motivation there for Paul, was there? By the response of other people. But because he had given himself to the Lord, he then in turn gave himself to people in ministry and in service. And he said, you know what? Even though the more I love you, that love is not returned, I'm going to keep giving and I will gladly spend and be spent on your behalf. Can we say that in ministry tonight? Can we say that about our service to other people? That, you know, I am glad, I am exuberant, I'm excited to spend and be spent on the behalf of other people in my service for my King. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, look every man not on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, sometimes it's hard to be others focused. We're selfish by nature. Selfishness comes so easy for us. But may God help us as we give ourselves to Him, that we in turn give ourselves to others unreservedly in service for our Lord. In conclusion tonight, I want to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. Paul says this, "And that He died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves." He's talking about Jesus dying on the cross for us. And that they which should live, those who have believed in Jesus Christ, those who are believers, those who are Christians, should not henceforth live unto themselves. Life's not about me, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. What a great verse. And Paul is saying that life should be about living for the One who died for you and for me. Folks, giving yourself. The churches at Macedonia, they begged Paul, "Paul, please, please, please let us give. Please let us be a part of the offering." It was far beyond the expectations that Paul had for these churches. But what was behind that? What was motivating that? They gave of themselves to the Lord as a matter of priority, as a matter of importance. And my simple question for us tonight, and I realize this is a Sunday night crowd, generally typically committed people, but can that be said of us tonight? Have you given yourself to the Lord? Maybe you would have to be honest and say that was true of me years ago.
but I've kind of waned in my commitment. It's not like it used to be. And folks, maybe tonight, as the people of God, as the people of this local assembly, that we simply just need to come back and say, what's really important? What should be the priority in my life? It should be Jesus Christ. It should be my God. It should be my King. And I just want a new and a fresh give myself to my God. May that be our heart tonight. May that be our commitment tonight. And no matter whether you are a young child in this audience tonight, that should be your heart. No matter if you are up in years tonight, that should be your heart. And it should be our heart tonight. And more even than our heart, it should be something that we put action to. And we say, God, I'm yours. God, you use me. And you know what the wonderful thing about it is? God does use us. And great and glorious and marvelous things to the glory and honor of our God can be done in us and through us when we give ourselves to Him. Let's pray. Father, we ask that, oh God, that you would allow these truths to burn deep in our heart tonight. Father, I pray that you would help us to do some introspection and evaluation. That we would just take a moment and look in our own heart and our own soul and just ask ourselves, where am I? Could it be said of me tonight that I've just given myself to my God? Lord, I pray, I earnestly pray tonight that for every person in this room that is a believer, and I believe that's the vast majority of folks in this room tonight, that that would be our prayer, that would be our heart, that would be our action, something that we put feet to, that we give ourselves to you. I pray this in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen.